what I want to look at here is the best of 2014, kind of, because as we approach the final couple of weeks of the year, we thought it was about time we cast our eyes back over the last 12 months, take a look at some of the best music, movies, television, books, whatever, and with their picks. This is all a personal thing, really. It's not really the best at all. Simon, Marin, and Dowd Coffee, what did they know? Well, we're about to find out, because everybody has a choice. Everybody has music. In fact, there's even music out there for people who don't like music, thus... Not going to say. Was born. Okay. I might get sued. I'll start with you, since you're laughing loudly there, Simon. Who would you rate this year? What was good or bad or mediocre? 12 months in pop culture.
Well, yeah, okay. Let's start music, right? Let's do music first. And I think it's been a good year for music. And I think what's been probably a particularly good year for is songs, right? And what has happened is that I think musically, style-wise, some of the stuff that I've liked, and this is all just snapshot in time from very late Thursday night when I was doing this, but two songs that jumped out at me. First is a New York band, or a Carolina band, called Sylvan Esso, and they have a song called Coffee. And the second one is a New York band called Lucius and Turn It Around, and I think they are two outstanding things.
Who was that first one you mentioned?
Sylvan Esso.
Sorry, is that a person or a band?
It's a duo. Oh, yes, yeah, right. It's a duo.
Okay, I'll tell you what, just suddenly in front of me, I've never heard this. Here goes. Crap.
It's a dance, we know the moves. The bow, the dip, the woo. Though the words are true, the state is old news. Wrap me in your arms, I can't feel it burn. Rock me in your arms, I can't feel it, but get up, get down, get up, get down. Feel the rotation start. See the next one. Get up, get down, get up, get down, get up. Cinnamon's a singing with the pair of feet.
Okay, we're going to give a taste and a flavour. We're not just going to go through every bloody song we'll be here tonight. Well, even though as much as I'd like to, I take everything you say to me, Simon.
Okay,
that's Sylvan Esso, Coffee.
Yes.
Right, okay, fair enough. And the other one you mentioned, well, in fact, you were both at the gig.
Yeah, yeah. Lucius, we both went to see them in April, I think it was, in the Workman's Club.
Yeah, in Dublin.
They're fabulous. See, they're these really well sort of trained, classically trained singers. They went to some very well-known school in Chicago, I think it is, and they do these beautiful harmonies, but they're kind of edgy, but really, really poppy as well. And they dress the same. The two girls dress the same, and it's just really cool. But I love them.
Even though you didn't have it on your list, what do you go?
Smack down.
What
they
do
weren't,
you have?
They didn't
I
make
back
my
yeah,
list.
No,
well, I love, in terms of songs, I actually think that De Laurentiis' song "Show Me Love" is so great. It's so catchy. It's so upbeat, and it's kind of Christmassy as well. Or maybe I'm just thinking that it's kind of Christmassy. But I love that. I just think it's got better and better the more I heard it. So.
What does it mean to me to know you are there? To know you are listening. To know you care. I need you to show.
De Laurentiis, it is. Okay. Give us another one that you've got.
I love
there.
This. Well, come on, we can't mention 2014 without mentioning Pharrell Williams' song Happy, which was, it became a kind of torture in a way, didn't it?
Oh, I thought that was last. I got confused. I thought that was last year. That's right. No, it wasn't.
Maybe it was.
This year.
Let's just
no,
say
it was this year.
Recently
in the world of retail. No, like that song just was everywhere this year. And it actually was a remarkable song, wasn't it?
It was a brilliant song.
And so you kind of have to give him props for that.
No,
and also Taylor Swift, Shake It Off.
Yeah, I don't know, I'm not up with Taylor at all.
Taylor, I'm addicted. I love her. Since Red came out, when, you know, We're Never Ever Getting Back Together and I Knew You Were Troubled, they're amazing pop songs. Amazing pop songs. They are, Taylor.
I'm sure they are. I just don't know Taylor.
They're absolutely
give it a blast.
Amazing.
Shake It Off, Taylor.
I see I'm too late. Got nothing in my brain.
was waiting to sing there, Dave.
Oh, sorry.
I like your dancing there.
But it has been a very good year, I think. I think there's been a renaissance of pop records, of really, really good pop records.
Yeah, like she's now in the position that Madonna was in, say, around the time of like A Prayer or something, maybe a bit before that. But she is like the biggest pop star on the planet. And tickets go on sale for her Dublin gig on Monday. And guess who's going to be ruining some teenager's dream by buying a ticket? And it's me.
Where is she playing? Is she playing in the Three Arena or something? Is it indoors or outdoors?
I think it is, I think it's the Three Arena.
I don't care.
AC/DC are playing on the first.
In the Aviva.
And they've got a new album, Rock or Bust.
Yeah, I'll be going to see Taylor Swift.
The review of the album, your man says, like, it's just like all 13 albums sound the same, and your man from AC/DC said, that's completely untrue. It's 14.
It's fine.
Anyway, where are we? That's Taylor Swift, Shake It Off. Okay, give us another one.
Albums. See, albums are a different thing altogether. You know, there's songs of the year that you just love and that you listen to on the radio, but albums now, we're going to bring it all right down. Jenny Lewis was my favourite album of the year.
She played at the picnic. I didn't see her.
I saw it and it was great. She was absolutely fabulous.
Was she Rilo Kiley?
She was Rilo Kiley.
Jenny and Johnny was a great
album. Can I just say that I've hated everything that Jenny Lewis has done up until this point.
Right.
Ryan Adams produced the Voyager album. Every single song of this album is brilliant as far as I'm concerned. It's a kind of personal story.
As far as I'm concerned.
Well, seeing as you just trashed my opinion at the start of the show saying it's all personal.
Just say it is the best.
I feel like, in my opinion, Dave, it is. No, it's amazing. And there's so many personal songs. Like, there's a lot of narrative on this album. She's talking about a breakup of a relationship. She talks about being a woman in a man's industry. Lots of personal stuff. But also, it's got this beautiful sort of Fleetwood Mac tinge. It's got a lovely country tinge. There's a Graham Parsons tinge. Ryan Adams produced it. So, and there's lovely pop melodies. There's some songs that sound like the Bangles. It's brilliant.
All right, so that's Jenny Lewis, the Voyager. What about you?
One I was surprised that I liked so much was Damon Albarn's Everyday Robots.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, and it was one of those times I kind of thought, okay, Damon he's done a few side projects. And so often, for a lot of people, side projects, they don't turn out quite so well. But Everyday Robots, it's just a lovely album. I remember when I was talking about it when it came out first. It's the sort of album that kind of brings you home and gives you a hug. It's that good.
And the last track is the best track.
Which is?
I've suddenly forgotten.
In your opinion, Dave.
Exactly.
But it's a really, really good album. And so much, it's all about, you know, technology now. Technology has taken over on us. But it's just so beautifully put together. And it's not necessarily, it's not that self-indulgent. It's just really good.
There's one
stories.
Terrible track on Mr. Tembo. I don't like that.
It's about an elephant, isn't it?
We can leave it at
the elephant song,
All right, but it is a good album, all right. Yeah. Okay, so where are we going with this? Do you want to keep talking
about it?
Live music.
Well, both of us were at Lucia's. I thought it was great. What else did you like?
I got to see Ben Folds, and Ben Folds played at the National Concert Hall this year, and he had
very grown up.
Yeah, I know. I felt very underdressed, among other things, when I got there.
He's not five anymore, is he? No.
The three of them are gone back. But he did a sort of a piece, an orchestral piece that he did, and he got the concert orchestra in to do it, and all of that stuff. And the orchestral piece itself that he performed was grand, you know, if you're into that sort of thing. But he also then did a whole lot of old Ben Folds and Ben Folds Five songs as well, and they were spectacularly good. And when you stick them in with the orchestral backing in them, and you stick them in a setting like the National Concert at all, there was definitely something about it which definitely says that there's something to the location as well as the gig.
What about you, Adele?
I don't know, did you, well, there was, I'm going to talk about a disappointment of the year, Dave, which was the Pixies in the Olympia. Did you see any of those gigs? I thought they were joyless.
The Pixies came back some time back and they played with Kings of Leon, who nobody knew Kings of Leon were at the time. And was it
Lansdowne?
God, they were awful.
Yeah, there was I still love Joey Santiago, but there was just an element of joylessness to it that felt like they all went back to their separate dressing rooms or something after the show.
When he went on to do solo albums, it was a brilliant extension of who he used to be.
Exactly. But one gig that I loved this year was First Aid Kit. I have kind of a biological love for
this band. You're into these two girls together, right?
I love them. I think it's kind of a deep-seated love for them. Like, because they were like 15 and 17 when their first album came out, that I kind of had this maternal instinct towards them. I don't even remember what it was called, but they were fabulous. But they played a gig in the Olympia just a few months ago now, their album Gold. And I hadn't really got into the album until I saw them play it live. And the band was made up of those two and then two other people in the band. And it sounded like there were about 15 people in the band. Beautiful vocal harmonies, really, though, is what they're all about.
And two lovely Swedish sisters.
Two lovely Swedish
Sven
sisters.
Sven Bornshop on the drums.
What?
Seriously, if you look at it.
I'll move on to the next album.
And moving on.
There's an album I just want to give a quick mention to, which is a really good Irish album, which is the new, the most recent A Lance for a Soul album, Last of the Analogue Age. Yeah. And I remember the first, many years ago, in my pirate radio days, recording an ad for an A Lance for a Soul gig in Williams, which must have been 2001, 2002.
They've been going that long.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yes. Yeah. But back with this album now, and it is so good. It is really, really, it was one of the three or four albums of the year that made me think, yeah, no matter what list I do, this should be on it.
Okay, keep going. We might go back to music in a minute, but let's just go to movies. What's that for you?
Well, it's funny this. Grand Budapest Hotel, I think, was far and away the best movie of the year.
It was very funny.
Yeah, it was very funny. No, and it was one of those movies that you're instantly charmed by.
Yeah, yeah.
And
we're in full agreement here. We didn't speak about our choices beforehand, obviously, because we're complete professionals.
Absolutely, yeah.
But we've discovered that we both chose The Grand Budapest Hotel as our favourite film of 2014.
Yeah.
It was so gorgeous. Ronan was in it, which kind of made me very happy.
And we had the woman on here who did all the design stuff for her, which was absolutely meticulous to the final detail.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Oh, even when you see everything from the settings of it, even to the way the use of colour in a film.
Yeah.
And I know it goes like beyond it being a good film, you know, but when you see everything, the way that it's done, it all adds up.
And have you been a fan of Steve Zissou and all these things?
Since Rushmore.
Right, yeah, okay.
Definitely.
But also, we have to remember that it was one of the best roles that Ralph Fiennes has had in years.
Because it was funny.
He was so funny. Yeah. And never learn to pronounce his
And looks like
favorites.
He was really enjoying himself too.
Indeed. Right.
Yeah. Anything else?
Mr. Turner. Yeah. Very serious. Very serious now. Mike Leigh's new biopic of the painter Turner. It's millions of years long, but it's very, very nice and very enjoyable. And I think Timothy Stahl will get an Oscar. And Dave, you're looking at me with your
bored
face.
No, in the Mike Leigh stakes, Mike Leigh would be my favourite director, but I wouldn't put it in my top five of his.
No,
but having said that,
like
I still
it.
Like. No, I did like it. But I loved the other five.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And I thought, yeah. Okay.
I thought Boyhood was very good this year.
No, I didn't see Boyhood.
Yeah. No, Boyhood was really good.
I saw
good.
Boyhood.
Yes.
I thought Ethan Hawke was very good in it.
Yes.
The dad actually.
But just
I enjoyed Boyhood. I mean, I know it's a bizarre concept for a movie, but it actually worked really well.
Well, that's thing for a film to be shot over 12 years, I think
years.
It was, you know, and that they would go back and do
with
this
the same
extra,
actors.
Yeah, but to be able to get that sort of continuity into it, you know that there's, you know, there's it's not just a movie, there's a love of a project going on
and
here.
And is it like the other Linklater films? Is it like the Before Sunset or After Midnight or whatever they're called?
In terms of detail, like I'll tell you, there's one, there's scary bits in it. The father, well, the first, the teacher guy is very, oh God.
Oh yeah, you know, like it's not done as a you know, happy little scrapbook. There's everything that's happened in the lives over the 12 years.
And what's her name, Patricia Arquette? Is it Patricia Arquette?
Patricia Arquette. Yeah.
She will definitely be nominated for something. She's brilliant in the movie. Brilliant in the movie, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so that's Boyhood, that's Grand Budapest Hotel. Anything else movie wise?
Mr. Turner.
Mr. I had Unbreakable in there as well, which is, it's a sort of a biography style, documentary style of a film as well. But it's just Mark Pollock, it's the story of Mark Pollock, another Irish story, but it's just so well done. It's
right.
A really, really good story. And it's one of those things that you look at and you won't believe how good or how true of a story it is. There's no dramatisation, there's no glamorization of it, but it's just a very good story about two incredibly strong people.
Okay, well, the best movie I've seen this year, just saw it a few weeks ago now, it doesn't actually hit the cinemas till January, without a doubt, is Foxcatcher. Fantastic. And Steve Carell is going to win everything. I can tell you that now.
Wow.
Okay, let's just go on to something else here, which is other movies, maybe. No, TV show. What about a TV show?
We have to talk about True Detective. I love True Detective. I know it got a bit silly towards the end, Dave, but in my opinion, this is the best TV show that came out this year.
No, it was very overrated.
What was better?
Well, I'll tell you, before what was better, what was bad about this? The first thing is,
no!
It had two huge stars from Hollywood, and they were given free reign. Nothing was left in the cutting
room. They weren't
given
free
reign. After a while,
reign.
It was like, geez, get on with the folks.
They weren't
Matthew
given
McConaughey
free
and Woody Harrelson. And by the way, the ending was just as dumb as whatever. Oh, look, we can't get any signal on the phone out in this weird haunted house with a loony. Give me a break.
I'm still unsure about the end, and we're not going to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it, Dave.
Yeah, I'm just sort of saying, you know.
No, I think it was brilliant. It was dark. It was completely new. It was completely unusual. It gave us the phrase, the psychosphere, which I love and have been using ever since. It was really cool how they did it, because, you know, you started off with this police investigation and you didn't know what was being investigated, what had gone wrong in their relationship, so it was jumping between the past and the present.
Well, you kind of did,
no. You didn't, Dave.
No, this weird scene out
like
in the
maybe with your super brain
signs.
You knew beforehand, but I didn't know.
I didn't know how it was going to unravel, but you knew they were looking for a loop.
And they've been doing this since, though. It's something that's been taken on by this new one that's going on in America with Dominic West at the moment, The Affair. They're using the same sort of approach. So I think it was very new and very
Colin
creative.
Colin Farrell and Vince Vaughn is the next
one. Colin Farrell, yeah, is in the next one. There's a second series and it's going to be a completely different story, obviously, but I loved it. I thought it was brilliant. And it's rare that you see that kind of dark, dark nihilism on mainstream telly. Yeah.
I think if you're looking for an 8-part series, which that was, which is short enough in terms of the way box sets go these days, you could have gone for The Honourable Woman with them.
What was better, Dave? What was better on telly?
I prefer The Honourable Woman, frankly, which I thought was pretty damn good with Maggie Gyllenhaal. And there's a bunch of other things I can think of. Even Ray Donovan for a laugh, you know, just for a laugh. Anyway, go on, what?
I've always been a fan of TV programmes that are about nothing, right? So that's why I loved Seinfeld. But what I particularly enjoyed this year, bizarrely, is Gogglebox, which is absolutely a television show that is about nothing.
Really,
it's just people watching television.
Yeah.
But people watching television.
But it is, for some reason, and God knows why, it's compelling viewing, you know, and as it goes on further and further. It's one of those things, like most pop culture phenomena, I had missed out on at the start, so I'm very late to the party on this one. But when I started to watch, I was like, this is possibly one of the best things I've ever seen. But if you ask somebody from an alien planet, if you describe them, what do you like watching most on television? Programs about nothing. And they're great.
But it's so interesting, isn't it? The way, like, they've got a little camera behind the television, and you're watching the family or a couple, and amazingly, you get to know the family and you get to know the couples through just what they're saying to each other about the television, and it's kind of telling
the dynamic between all the people in it as well. Like, you know, there's a massive thing. It's like it's a social experiment as much as a TV program.
But like, I talk to the telly on my own. Like, God knows what it would say about me if I was on Gogglebox.
But do you not do this kind of thing of like you're really watching telly with about 8,000 people, especially if it's a live
program?
Yeah,
on Twitter.
Twittering away. You know?
Made in Chelsea is the best. Monday nights. MIC. Hashtag MIC, Dave.
MIC. That was called people in the know. It's the official.
If you're on the Twitter, that's it.
I've never seen Maiden Chelsea. I've seen the people in the papers all.
You'd hate it, Dave. You'd hate it.
Okay, moving on. That's television. Anything else on television we should know about? Love-hate. For God's sake. If you're not going to mention love-hate, I'm going to play a damn clip from it, okay?
I was just about to.
Just a bit.
What? I have to say, Nizzy, I can't understand this.
Understand what?
Someone must have done something you don't know about.
What do you want to know?
Patrick Ward. You know what I'm talking about, Nizzy? He's the most peaceful fucking pipe bomb maker I know. He's solid.
Frank, don't be annoying me, all right?
You don't want me to talk to him?
No, I'm dealing with it.
I know him, Nizzy. I'll help you sort it. He'll talk to me.
I don't want you to talk to him. I don't want you to talk to him. I'm done talking.
Alright, the offer's there, that's all.
You go near him to talk to him, and you go behind me back, you know what I mean?
Only trying to help, Nidji.
Only trying to help, indeed. Well, what do you think?
You could not see past the phenomenon that was Love Hate this year. You know, it's whatever, five seasons in, possibly the last season. You know, nobody knows. But I think for something that gripped people, and you know, the whole idea of TV, and I remember talking to a TV director before, and he was saying his thing is that TV has to be a one-on-one experience. He wanted TV to mirror radio. That'd be the same thing, that it's you, you know, a presenter talking to a listener, you know, and a TV will be the same, that it'll be a bunch of actors talking to you in your sitting room. And I think Love Hate did that.
Okay, all right, good enough. What about books? Let's go away from TV. We can come back to all these in a second and see what else you've forgotten.
Books, for me, it's a really odd one. The book that I probably enjoyed most this year, and I love biographies, big fan of biographies, but one I did not expect to enjoy at all is Michael Smurfit's book, It's Life Worth Living.
I believe that's brilliant.
And it's a really good book. It's not necessarily particularly well written, it's not particularly well edited. There's a lot of the stories in there that you kind of go, This is nonsense, but there's something about it, and there's something about his life story that just makes it really interesting.
Good enough, Adele.
Lena Dunham, for me, she's the book of the year.
Not that kind of girl.
Not that kind of girl. And I know I'm always harping on about this, and I've been harping on about it all year, but it really is great. She's 27 or something. Everybody will know her from Girls, obviously, as Hannah, but she's also the writer of that. Now, if you don't like Girls, I wouldn't be put off by that, because I think her writing's much funnier and it's much more accessible to. Because it's not Hannah, it's Lena.
And very well written and very funny.
Very funny. Like, she writes for The New Yorker. Like,
honest.
I think she's a young Nora Ephron, actually, where she just writes about her life. She cannibalizes her own life. It's very honest. It's very funny. Like, I remember a piece she wrote for The New Yorker about her ex-boyfriend's parents contacting her on Facebook saying, you know, we wanted to get in touch with you to say we think it's time to unfriend. And it's just like, what she extrapolates out of that, like, one. Like, you know, That's just one incident, but you know, she's just brilliant the way she takes it apart and the way it just becomes a huge thing in her life. So it's really, really funny, and I do think she's now like one of the voices of a generation, as she would say herself.
That's the Lena Dunham book. We are a bit sort of stressed for time. We had Chris on for a long time, so just very briefly, like, if it was a moment of the year, which I'm going to ask you, mine was, I knew it would be beforehand, the World Cup for me is definitely the best 4 weeks.
Funny that you should say that. But for me specifically, it was the Holland-Spain game, the 5-1.
No, the first night was Croatia and Brazil. Fix. Okay. The second night, it got off to when Van Persie got the equaliser.
Yeah,
that started the whole thing.
That's it. It was the diving header.
Away.
The diving header, and people knew, right, we're in for something special for that.
And even I saw that match and thought it was something special. It was very enjoyable. I actually watched that in a joint event at the Spanish and Dutch embassies, and there was loads of Dutch people there.
Oh my God.
And a few Spanish people there.
That was the beginning of the end of Spain's domination of football.
It was. And because it was such an utter surprise to people, I think that's what made the huge difference.
And also, they scored first. Now, it was a penalty. It was a dodgy penalty. But Spain were 1-0 up.
It was amazing.
And which I think, it was going to script for the first half hour, 35 minutes of the game. And then suddenly, the world went mad. And the other thing I have to, of course, mention as moment of the year was, of course, the birth of a young fella only a few weeks ago. So that's.
Are you the father?
It's either me or the postman. The jury's out on that one. By the time you get to next year, we'll know more.
All right. Adele, what about you? Is there a moment of the year?
I'm not talking about my personal moments of the year. They've all been horrifying. But anyway, Kim Kardashian failing to break the internet with her backside. I was very sort of pleased that she didn't manage to do that, because it was just like, boring.
Is that your best moment of the year?
My moments are all schadenfreude-led, Dave, okay? Right, and the other best moment of the year
was... schadenfreude, as in no matter how many other people suffered, you were sitting there going, listen, it's not me. I don't think she suffered. She made millions out of her arse.
Apparently she does, but anyway.
She suffers for her arse. Sorry.
Get that on a t-shirt.
The other moment I enjoyed was when U2 gave away their album on Apple, and then Apple kind of had to respond to people being like, why is this U2 album on my phone? And tell people how to take it off. But I think that was a bit of a misfire, really, in terms of publicity. But
I'm just baffled by that. I thought it was one of the greatest moves I've ever come across in music in my life. I don't think Bono should have apologised. It was brilliant.
Oh, he shouldn't have apologised.
It was effective.
You use everything you can to get it.
No, he shouldn't have apologised.
You were looking at albums there, and like the best albums of the year and all that, and you have to look at a list of about 1,000. You realise you've heard maybe only about 70 or 80, and you knock it down to about 10 or whatever it happens to be. Just trying to get your album heard out there. This was fantastic.
Well, it's still on my phone. I still haven't managed to delete it, but anyway.
Really? Because you're listening to it. Listen, look, there's loads more we could do, and this is just a headline thing. Maybe we should have a 5-hour program someday on this, but in the meantime, happy Christmas, Adele Coffey and Simon Marr.
Thank you.
What's the name of the
Connor
yes. of the what's the name of the
of the milkman's child is
what
Connor
what is called
oh god happy Christmas, Connor, you're very first. Okay, let's play a break. I think we need one.